Well, I'll share a revelation with you concerning our brother's keeper. The Lord says we are our brother's keeper. And the Lord wants us to have a real interest and a love for our brethren, that we would sacrifice our life, as he did, to see that our brothers made it, you know. This revelation came to Eve Brast on the 19th of this December. And she says, since yesterday afternoon, that was the 18th, the Holy Spirit in me has been very grieved. I felt sadness from the Father's heart, but I didn't understand why. Then again, on the way home from the Friday night meeting, his sadness and grieving was heavy upon me again. And I began to pray as I pulled into my driveway that Father would help his people, and that he would make me in his eyes and his ears and his mind, and that he would help me to be his hands and his feet. And I understood in general that this was what the Holy Spirit was grieved about. And he desired that this would be the desire of his people above all else. And she says, please go back and read my word from the Father on December the 7th. It's so very important to him that my heart breaks at the earnest longing from his spirit that he allowed me to feel. Well, back on the 7th, Eve said, I asked the Father what was on his heart to say to us today, and he told me to get a pen and a paper. He said, my people, who are called by my name, humble yourselves before me this day. Fast and pray with weeping and lamentations for your brethren who are in this land. For swift destruction is coming, and distress from every side. And there shall be none to deliver, but I will deliver. But by my power and strong arm, those who will repent and turn to me in that day. Take care to be mindful of your fellow brethren. Lay down your lives, for you are your brother's keeper. Offer up to me the sweet smell of sacrifice, and I will honor it. Fast and pray, for the day draws near. All things will be accomplished according to my word. And the thought that came to me was, you know, something we talked about recently, and several people wrote in and said it moved them to seek the Lord for his gifts, because these are gifts of the ministry of Jesus Christ to the world. And he tells us to desire earnestly these gifts so that we'll be able to help the brethren. Eve went on to say, when I laid down to sleep last night, I asked Father for a dream to share with the brethren at the morning prayer meeting on Saturday morning, and I received it on the 19th. I dreamed that I was making rounds with David and Michael in a nursing home / mental hospital. Well, I had enough dreams like this to know that this is talking about the church. It's supposed to be a spiritual hospital, the only real hospital. And the church is supposed to be gifted to heal the spiritually old and mentally sick in the body. And the church is falling far short. The Nicolaitan error is pretty much ingrained in most of the church. And that is, well, that's what the pastor's there for. That's what the apostle's there for. That's what these people are there for. They can take care of all this. But no, that's not what the scripture teaches us. It teaches a body ministry. The whole body involved. Anybody that's filled with the Spirit is involved. That's what it teaches. And the spectator churchianity out there is just that. It's the Nicolaitan error. She said David was a surgeon dressed in light blue scrubs, and Michael was a resident surgeon in training dressed in royal blue scrubs. They represent the man-child ministry, she said, quote, who is like God, unquote. And this is, of course, the meaning of the word Michael, of the name Michael, who is like God. And to be like God, we need his fruit and his gifts to be able to help the brethren. God has a heart for his people. He doesn't want them to live in bondage all of their spiritual life, but yet many do. And that's what the body's all about. She went on to say there were others with us from UBM and also some nurses that I currently work with at the hospital in real life. David was a very talented and important doctor and well respected in this dream. He had come there to perform a new procedure that would restore these patients in this facility. And we all desired to assist him in this procedure. She said these that followed are like the disciples of Jesus' day that followed him. As we all followed David, he would stop at the different rooms and areas of this nursing home / mental hospital and point out different patients and explain to us what he needed us to do to help him. And many of the patients were demented or just old and feeble, and I would say in spirit, you know, because this is a dream and it's a parable. And there's a lot of Christians in this way. They're demented because they don't have the renewed mind of Christ. They're old under the curse and not really don't have a lot of hope of coming out of it. They think it's just the way of nature. And they're feeble and need healing in their body, healing in their mind. And she said many were half naked, which I believe means not dressed up with the works of Christ. Actually, the gifts of the Spirit are the works of Christ as far as his ministry to other people. And it's very badly needed. And it will be very great in the very near future when the latter rain and former rain are poured out. And said many were half naked and very obese, meaning overcome by their flesh. And many are truly overcome by their flesh, both physically and spiritually. They wandered around aimlessly and and out of the right minds, which I believe, of course, is the renewed mind of Christ, right? And these are our brothers and sisters in Christ who have not come out of the ways of the harlot church yet, or who have fallen back into worldly lusts and the mind of the flesh and their old beastly nature. Well, this is so true. I mean, there are people that believe that they are somebody because of who they hang out with. That's the deception, you know, of denominationalism, and it can happen to people that are in UBM even though we're not a denomination. It's all in your mind, right? We're all responsible to do the work of the kingdom, right? In whatever facility we have as far as what is our capability and our knowledge and our gift. And Isaiah 63:9 says, in all their affliction he was afflicted. The Lord felt for the affliction of his people. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them, and he carried them all the days of old. Well, that's just the nature of God, right? The nature of our Father. And he wants us to have that same kind of heart towards each other. And anybody that loves God loves also those that are begotten of God, the Bible says. And Eve said, as we approached some double glass doors that led out into a courtyard filled with green grass, it was dark. And as we stood out on the lighted covered porch area, it began to rain very large drops of water. And she said, Michael Hare says, these represent the trials and the sacrifices that we endure for the sake of our brethren. As faithful priests, this is what is required of us. Amen. And also, you know, I would like to say that the rain can be the anointing and the gifts that God gives to those who sacrifice their lives to help the brethren. You know, as we give of ourselves, God gives back to us, and he makes us more and more capable of helping the brethren. If we don't do that, if we only look after ourselves or we're perpetual students, then we don't get to enter into that. But the Lord wants us to desire these things. She said, David and Michael stepped out into the rain, and they turned to face us. And David held out his hand and said, I need someone to come and get the stretcher in order to transport these patients. She said, the word stretcher is a play on words. In order to be at rest, you must stretch your faith. Yeah. And those who are able are called to help carry the spiritually sick Christian until they can walk for themselves. And until they're through with their sickness or their infirmity or whatever it is, we should be filling in and helping out, right? She said all the others that had been following David and Michael were unwilling to step out into the rain with them in order to go get the stretcher for the patients. They began to turn and walk back into the nursing home / mental hospital and murmur as they went that this was too hard, too difficult. Yeah, and many people are just distracted by the world, constantly running after the world and a love for the worldly things and worldly appetites and just constant. And this is distracting, and it takes away the fruit, according to the parable of the sower. Chokes out the fruit, right? John 6:66 says, upon this many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Yeah, the saying was too hard, too difficult to receive, that they should eat his body and drink his blood, right? But, of course, that doesn't slow people down who really want to understand. They look into it and they find out what this means and on and on. So they don't look for reasons to not do the work. She said, my heart sank as they walked away, and I felt so alone and sad for David. I said, I'll go. Of course, I think this is a symbol that the true bride will help to save God's people, just like Esther did. She hazarded her life to save God's people. And she said, I didn't want to get out in the rain either, but to my surprise, even though it was cold, as the large raindrops hit my face and arms, I wasn't getting wet. The water was just soaking into my skin and filling me up inside. I felt encouraged and strengthened. Well, amen. That's awesome. You know, Isaiah 28:12 says, to whom he said, this is the rest. Give ye rest to him that is weary, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And of course, this is talking about the reign of the Holy Spirit, right? Being baptized in the Holy Spirit. By men of strange lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, right? So, people avoid the rain as though it was acid, you know. But in actuality, it doesn't hurt at all, does it? And it's refreshing. And it's all in your head, isn't it? It's all kind of in your head. Rain does not hurt at all. And that's the way it is with tribulations and trials, but the refreshing of the Spirit will help us. You know, we think that these tribulations and trials, we don't want this, we don't want to go through this again, blah, blah, blah. But if we just believe what the Bible says, we understand that God is blessing us through this. Romans 5:3 says, and not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations. Some people think that's a strange saying. We rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness, and steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope. And hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. Amen. And James 1:2-4 says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Oh, amen. Great promise. And, of course, we've got to have the attitude that God says to have here, or it all just becomes murmuring. You know, lots of reasons to murmur. But the Lord, you know, the murmurers didn't make it through the wilderness. Those with faith did. Missy said, this reluctance to help God's people reminds her of the book of Esther, Chapter 4 and verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then will relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house will perish. And who knoweth whether thou art not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I believe that could be said for anybody, for whatever they face in the kingdom, because there's no accidents in the kingdom. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. There's no trial or temptation that comes your way that isn't ordained from God for one reason or another. And so, since it is from God, we don't want to insult God. We don't want to murmur and complain to God all the time. We want to use it for his glory, right? And anyway, Missy went on to say, when we choose obedience, Father will strengthen us for the task, just like he did for Jesus. In Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. And he that will, let him take of the water of life freely. Should we invite people all around us? Well, that's kind of what it's saying there, isn't it? Tell them, come, you know. She said the verse that came to Merlene this morning when I shared this dream was James 4:17. To him, therefore, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So now we know to rejoice in our tribulations. Now we know that God uses all these to perfect us, to make us entire, lacking in nothing. Should we complain to God because he's doing this wonderful work on us? I would say we better not. The people who did grumble and complain and murmur lost their place. Right? They didn't get to enter into the promised land. So, anyway, please, brethren, pray and fast for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I say, ask for gifts from God for them, because these are parts of the ministry of Jesus to the body. He created the body to meet its own needs. And if you're not doing your job, there is a need not being met to the rest of the body. So the Lord says, sacrifice your life and go after these gifts. Of course, some people go only after the gifts, but they go for the wrong reasons. They want to glorify themselves. And the thing you've got to have before the gifts is fruit. But by the time you have studied all the things that we have studied, and you're beginning to bear enough fruit to be useful to someone, don't forget it's sowing that causes you to reap. It's giving. You know the experience of the Holy Spirit in your heart, how He makes you feel good when you're sharing with the brethren, when you're meeting their needs around you. Whatever your gift is to give them, you happily give it to them. And you feel the joy of the Holy Spirit inside. Well, He wants us to experience that a lot more. So anyway, Eve goes on to say, ask for ears to hear the Holy Spirit's pleadings with us on their behalf. Romans 9 and 3 says, for I could wish that I myself were anathema from Christ, which means accursed, separated from Christ, for my brethren's sake, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And Luke 12 and 50, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Yes, we have a baptism too, and how are we straitened until it be accomplished? Amen? You say, what kind of baptism is that? Well, it's a baptism of water, which is the Word of God, but then trials and tribulations come to prove the Word which has been sown in our hearts, Jesus said in the parable of the sower. And so it has to be proven. It has to be a part of us. It's kind of like a ruminant, you know, a cow chews it, and it goes down and bring it back up and chew it again. And, you know, it has to be a part of us. It can't be just a mental assent. Yep, that's right. Go on to the next, you know. You have to be applying this to your life, right? Well, the three of us walked across the grassy court together, in other words, with the flesh under feet, right? Because all flesh is as grass, right? To another building on the other side that was white brick. And I believe this was representing righteous works to serve the needy, right? And the whole body is needy. Again, if we're not doing our job, there's one gift that they're not receiving. And nobody is really gifted with all of the gifts. I know people say they are, but I know also that the Holy Spirit can manifest any gift through you at any time, but commonly you only have a few, right? And so we need everybody's few all of the time, right? She said this is where David would perform the new procedure. Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. Well, amen. That's the gospel, the really good news of what the Lord has done for us. Few know it. You could hang out around most Christians a long time and you'd realize that very few know this, that their needs have already been met completely according to the Scriptures. And they need to hear the gospel. It's the good news. It's the power of God to save that one that believes it. So share the good news with your brethren and with the lost world. So I asked Eve if she thought that the following correction applies well to some in all of UBM. And I believe it speaks of many who have had much training but as yet have not entered into the work of restoring their brethren in whatever capacity they have and whatever gift that they have, right? So there's some lazy students. They just want to be students, you know. She said, there were many UBM members sitting in the doctor's lounge along with all the children of UBM, including my two sons, Elijah and Josiah. In the doctor's lounge? What are they doing there? And, you know, her two sons, Elijah and Josiah, just reminded me that even the two witnesses at this time are needing the anointing to serve. They're needing the gifts to serve. And, of course, that is a spinoff from the man-child ministry, right? So, but you got to know these things, and it's good to know them now. And it's good to seek now what you need. I know that these things are all coming, but you need to ask, right? You have not because you ask not. And the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Effectual, fervent. Many of the light prayers that people pray, they forget about them the next day. It's not an important thing to them. But what's important to God, we need to believe is important. And we need an effectual, fervent prayer is not asking too much. And they were all sitting around waiting for David to come and perform the new procedure. They were all busy and absorbed in their conversations. Yeah, it's good for the saints to love to fellowship one another. It's good for them to love to talk to one another. But there's always work to be done, right? They all wanted to talk about the procedure, but didn't want to take any action, she says. Again, it's like perpetual students needing to put their knowledge to work, you know. She said the children were all over the floor and sitting in chairs and on ottomans that were blocking the path to the procedure room. And David told me to move the chairs and ottomans out of the way and clear a path for the stretcher to go through. In other words, take away their resting in the flesh so that they have to stand on their own two feet. People just want to be spectators. It's time to step out, is what God is saying. And he knows who he's talking to right now and who he's not talking to. Some are babes. They need to know the foundation and things like that. They need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But others already know these things. And they're getting old in these things and not using them. So Eve went on to say this was difficult because the children wouldn't get up off of the furniture and the room was very crowded with people and furniture. Yeah, they were insisting on resting in the flesh. You know, there's resting, ceasing from your own works, but then there's being used of God to do his works. And that's not resting in the flesh, that's resting in the spirit. The adults wouldn't make the children obey and wouldn't help me move anything. It was like they were unable to hear my requests. I found the strength to move the furniture with the children still on it and clear a path. Yep. So, in short, we can't be perpetual students. It's time for the more mature to get to work restoring the kingdom people and seeking out their gifts. Our gifts, by the way, in the Gospels or in the Scriptures, were given to immature people. It's not that you've got to be grown up to receive a gift. If you've waited that long, you've waited too long. Whatever your gifts are from the Lord, find out. He's the one that knows. He has chosen them for each and every one of us, and we need to find out how we can serve his kingdom his way. The Holy Spirit will help us. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything else until you do. Even the children can do something to help. All are not ordained to be elders, but all have gifts, or should have, to help in restoring the kingdom. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Lord says to forsake the idols and to seek the gifts to be able to help God's people. These gifts will make the body defensible. It will be able to defend itself. It will be able to heal itself. It will be able to deliver itself, etc., etc. After this, Michael and I went to find the right stretcher that would accommodate a very obese patient, and again, representing those who are overcome with their flesh. We finally found an old, faded forest green recliner that was very wide, and when we reclined it all the way, it transformed into a stretcher with wheels. So we rejoiced when we found it. And I believe this probably represents enabling the spiritually sick Christian to rest from their labors through faith, right? Rest from their own works through faith. And many people are in the turmoil in their mind and in their bodies because they're not resting from their labors. And they're not entering into faith. Right? She said, "When I woke up, I asked Father for a word for this dream and received Isaiah 33 and 16. And here's the text. Verse 10, "Now will I arise, says the Lord. Now will I lift up myself. Now will I be exalted." How do we exalt the Lord in the earth? Well, His body is supposed to be one. It is the body of Christ, so that Christ Himself in His body can do His works throughout the earth. And as you know, He's very successful whenever He's able to do that. And His people are mostly restraining that because they won't seek, desire earnestly the gifts that they need to be the body of Christ. And as this goes on, it's first you can see that the Lord addresses the fate of those who believe themselves to be a part of Zion, but do not have the fruit. He says, "You shall conceive chaff." Chaff, of course, is the flesh of the seed, right? "You shall bring forth stubble. Your breath," which is the Hebrew word for spirit, "is as a fire that shall devour you." In other words, be careful of the spirit that goes forth from you, so that what you speak does not bring a curse upon you. Because whatever you speak from whatever spirit, that's what you're going to receive, right? Amen. In verse 12, "And the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut down, that are burned with fire." Well, he says that the people drink the rain and bring forth fruit, well, but if they bring forth thorns and thistles, they're just good for cutting down and throwing in the fire, right? And so there are a lot of people that go on claiming to be Christians, but they're not disciples because they're not putting to work what they learn, what they know. They can quote the scriptures, but they can't live the scriptures. And this is a cripple, and their place in the body is they're just dead weight. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. See, no, Jesus said that every branch in me that bears not fruit is cast into the fire. Right? So he goes on to say, "Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledging my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless ones. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings?" Well, the sinners can't stand to dwell among those who offer up their flesh as a continual burnt offering. They endure the trial because they desire after the Lord. They know it's useful. They know they don't want their flesh, and they're not taking it with them. And they know that this fire is their ally to get rid of the old man so that they can live in Christ, right? And the sinners that are dwelling in the midst of these people are just driven out by their own fears. Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? And so they leave. And, of course, that's part of the fire. I mean, it burns up individual flesh, and it burns up corporate flesh. Meaning those people there that are dead weight, just a bother to the body. Why does it cumber the ground? The Father said. Right? It's not bearing any fruit. So there is a great falling away happening. So who can dwell in the fire? And who can keep their flesh on the altar? Right? Well, the next verse starts speaking about that. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. He that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from taking a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood. Some people love to sit and listen to somebody that's out to kill somebody else with their tongue. And they'll do that, and God rejects them. Matter of fact, they get captured too. And shutteth his eyes from looking upon evil. Yep. I will put no evil thing before my face, David said. But these people have an inquisitive nature, and they don't mind looking upon evil or doing what's contrary to the Scriptures. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of the rocks. He shall dwell on high. A place of safety. A place of defense. And the munitions of the rocks are his defense. Are you stocking up on your ammunition? And this is talking about those who are defended by the word that's in their heart, right? It's their ammunition whenever the evil comes, right? His bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. In other words, he shall have God's supply. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. So these righteous people, they will see the visitation of the Lord in his body. What is it that they will see him and the rest won't? Well, that was a good question in Jesus' day, right? Those disciples saw him. But the very learned scholars didn't. The people that were highly respected by the people who didn't know, didn't see the Lord. They shall behold a land that reacheth afar. In other words, they'll have much freedom living in their promised land, right? Some dwell on earth, some dwell in the heavens. Right? So, my exhortation, the biggest thing for everybody, is that we seek the gifts of God in order to build up His people. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were led away unto those dumb idols." And it's still the same problem. We're supposed to be seeking the gifts immediately when you enter the kingdom, and people are so distracted with the idols of the world, they don't even take time to do it. And are satisfied with what everybody else around them is satisfied with. And that's sad. And that's what this whole revelation is about. Wherefore I make known unto you that no man speaking in the Spirit of God, saith Jesus, is anathema. Well, that's easily understood. But he also goes on to say, and no man can say Jesus is Lord but in the Holy Spirit. You can't say Jesus is your Lord if you're not in the Holy Spirit. That's not so easily understood by a lot. They would certainly understand the first part, but he's trying to say you should just as well understand this. So, forsake the worldly idols and seek gifts in order to edify God's weak people. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministrations, but the same Lord. In other words, the gifts are administered differently in different people. And there are diversities of workings, but the same God, who worketh all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. In other words, to meet the needs of the whole body. Where each one is given. Now, this is just like a healing is given. It's yours. Doesn't mean you're going to get it. If you don't seek it by faith, you won't. Or you'll run to man for their ways. Or anything else you get from God, you seek it by faith. He said it's yours. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. Okay? For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge. I was a baby Christian when people started coming to me, not knowing each other, and saying, giving a word of knowledge and saying, that, do you know that the Lord has given you word of wisdom and word of knowledge? Well, first couple times I heard that, I just said, okay. About the third time I said, yep, I know it. And of course, it started working. And it's all according to the same Spirit, he says here. To another, faith in the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healings in the one Spirit. And to another, workings of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, discernings of spirits. And to another, divers kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as he wills. So, you need to find out, what is the will of the Lord for you? What gift would he have you to have? And, you know, obviously you don't necessarily have to know that. You just have to ask God to send the gifts that are yours for the body. How can you serve the body? They will fit you. They will fit you good when they come. They won't puff you up. If you've got the right ones for you, they'll be natural. It'll feel natural. It's spiritual, but it'll feel natural to you, you know. So, and verse 12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. This is how Christ is in the earth. The body meets its needs, right? For in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. And of course, we don't drink of that Spirit that it just, you know, be stagnant. We got to be a river of living water, which is a flowing stream, right? Living water in the Old Testament meant flowing, moving. If you're stagnant, you can't receive any more. Right? It's got to be going out so it can come in. They're all made to drink of one Spirit. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that he that believed on him was to receive, right? And they were all filled with the Spirit that manifests the gifts to defend the body, to heal the body, to meet the needs of the body. Acts 19:2 says, "And he said unto them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" There are actually people out there that believe they got the Holy Spirit automatically when they believed. The Scripture says quite differently. He tells Christians in 1 Corinthians 12:13-14 to desire these gifts and to desire the Holy Spirit so they can have these gifts, because it's the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, that causes these gifts to flow out of you, and they're not natural gifts. The people who don't believe in the baptism of the Spirit have drug all these gifts down on a natural plane, talking about men's very natural gifts and not the supernatural gifts of God. So, we need this. You need to be baptized in the Spirit to have this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said unto him, Nay, we did not so much as hear whether the Holy Spirit was given. Well, it was given. So, receive it, right? 14 says, For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, Because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Well, it's true. People like to copy and one another. And if they don't see somebody else going in this certain direction, they tend not to go. But we have to go the direction the Lord wants us to go. We have to have the gifts the Lord wants us to have. If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? Well, that's right. You don't have a body. You don't have a functional body unless people find out their gift and be used in it, right? But now hath God set the members, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Yes. And those parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Well, amen. Every gift is necessary and needed. People are very happy sharing their gifts if they're permitted to, encouraged to. And there should be a body ministry, because nothing else works. I mean, you'll just overwork a few, and the rest will be, well, just like this revelation. Lazy, perpetual students. Whereas our comely parts have no need, but God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. Well, it's true. If one member is not able to do their job, everybody suffers. Or one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and severally members thereof, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, divers kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? But desire earnestly the greater gifts, and moreover a most excellent way show I unto you. And we minister the gifts through love. You know, that's why he calls it a most excellent way. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. See, the fruit is more important than the gift. But if you have love, love for the body, like you have a love for the Lord, you're going to want the gifts in order to serve them. See, so it's a natural byproduct of a life of love. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And a lot of people think that it's so extremely important that they have gifts, and it certainly is, but they want the gifts for all the wrong reasons. They want to be seen as people of power. They want to be respected and so on and so forth. But really, gifts won't get you into heaven. Fruit will. Gifts are a byproduct of your love so that you're useful and a blessing to the body around you. A complete person. That just as Jesus was fruit, the fruit. And what he did was the gifts. Gifts that he gave unto men around him. And so if we're fully come into Christ, we're not only going to have the fruit, but we're going to have the gifts too. We all share in the fruit, and we share in the gifts. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. See, gifts can do that to people. Knowledge can do that to people, right? But if you got love, that's not going to happen. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil. Some people, that's all they do is take account of other people's evil, as though it's going to make them greater if everybody else is pushed down a notch, right? They'll stand on their heads, right? It's not provoked. People don't get angry, you know. It rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. Bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things. And these are talking about the right things. Believing all the good things. Some people, you know, they're scoffers. They're just not going to believe, hope with other people, not going to bear with other people. They're not going to endure others and the things that they do. Well, love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. And of course, this is the explanation here. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect, which is the same word for complete, is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So the prophecy that we begin with is not the prophecy we end with. The tongues that we begin with is not the tongues that we end with. It's the beginning, not the end. And it should grow and become greater and greater. And the greater should replace the lesser, right? That's what he's talking about. Not doing away with tongues, not doing away with prophecy. That's not what he's talking about. That's just the people who don't want any of the gifts and don't want the Holy Spirit and don't want to obey God. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Here it is. And when I felt as a child, I thought as a child, and now I'm become a man, I put away childish things. So that was in part, and in completeness, you see. You put away those childish things, but you're growing. You still have all that with you, but you're growing, you know. And so the more mature is replacing the less mature. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I know fully, even as I also was fully known. But now about faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. So chapter 14 says, follow after love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And verse 12 says, so also ye, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may abound unto the edifying of the church. That's a command from God. What is it then, brethren, when you come together, each one hath a psalm, hath a teaching, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation, that all things be done unto edifying. If any man speaketh in a tongue, let it be by two, or the most three, and that in turn, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in church, let him speak to himself and to God. And let the prophet speak by two or three, let the others discern. And if a revelation be made to another sitting by, let the first keep silence. In other words, work as a body. Cooperate with everyone else. Let everyone have their turn, you know. Well, Father, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you would put this great desire for the gifts in all the people's hearts and all the brethren, that they be useful in the kingdom. They receive the joy of ministering to the body in whatever capacity you have chosen, Father. And we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.